Well, we come to that time in the service when we're going to look at some Bible verses, and we do that with an expectation that God is going to speak to us, speak not just to our heads, but also to our hearts in a way that I believe can encourage us and can challenge us and can prepare us for what's there in the week ahead, to live in a way that brings glory to God. So let's start by praying together. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you bless us by the people that you have put around us. Thank you for the people that, in preparation for this service, have already blessed us with the singing and the words spoken. Thank you for those that were remembered in the table talk, those who have empowered us, who have blessed us, who have made our lives better. People that you made, you created, who have been a blessing to others. And even those who have been a challenge to us, Lord, maybe we've been able to grow through that. So we want to thank you for those experiences. And now, as we look at your word, I pray for each person listening that you will speak to them, that you will encourage them, that they will know your love and your spirit at work in them. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we've been going through Galatians, which we have talked about being the gospel message, and that a gospel is a gospel of grace. And it keeps being repeated again and again. The gospel is grace, but how those that Paul was speaking to and those around us now and we ourselves keep trying to make the gospel about more than grace. We keep trying to make it law, but it's God's free gift to us. It's his grace. That's how we know salvation. So this time we're actually going to look at walking, and I want to give you a brief Bible history of walking, starting in Genesis 3:8. We've got the story of Eden, and it says in 3:8, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So there we have the perfect creation before sin. God was walking in the garden, and I imagine that Adam and Eve were walking with him until sin came in, and when God was coming to walk in the garden, they hid. They didn't want to be found by God. They were no longer there and able to walk with him. As we go through the Old Testament, I'm just going to pick out three people that it was mentioned that they walked with God. Genesis 5:24, Enoch walked faithfully with God. Genesis 6:9, Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. Genesis 17:1, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. So those are pictures, images we have of people who are walking with God. How about Jesus? Did Jesus give an invitation for people to walk with him? Well, let's look in Matthew 4:18-29. Whilst as Jesus was calling the first of the disciples, it says this: whilst walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. I think that's a picture of Jesus saying, walk with me, come on a journey with me, follow me, go to the places I will go to, stay where I will stay, spend your time with me, be with me, walk with me. And indeed in John 12:26, Jesus says this: if anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. I think that is a picture of Jesus saying, walk with me. And how about today's verses? Today we're in Galatians 5, 16 to 18, and those verses go like this. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So here in Galatians 5, we have a picture of us walking with the Spirit, walking by the Spirit. And the phrase that's used in the different Bible translations, walk, seems to suggest a habit, a constant being with, a constant doing it, a walking with. And here the invitation is that we walk by the Spirit. I think that's what we were made to do. If we look in the Old Testament again at Deuteronomy 10:12, it says this, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all of his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." You often hear it said by us, I think, at Sports Village Church, that we are not about a religion, we are about a relationship. We are about the way that we relate to God and the way that that is made possible by Jesus. And this week we're looking at how that's made possible through the Holy Spirit at work in us. Without the gospel, we couldn't walk with God. Why not? Because of our past sin. Romans 3:23. All of us have sinned and fall short of God's glory. And whilst that sin is there, we can't enjoy the intimacy with God. And that sin does more than that. That sin enslaves us. It means we're not free to make the choices that we want to make. And if you look up Romans 7:15-20, you have Paul there talking about the dilemma, the real wrestling battle that goes on inside of us when we know what we want to do, but we can't do it. And we know what we don't want to do, and yet time and time again, we find that's the very thing that we end up doing. Our sin not only means we haven't met God's standards, it not only means that we can't be in an intimate place with God, but it means that we're not free to even try to get there. So I said we're going to look at relationships today, and one of the most intimate ones of those is an intimate relationship, a marriage relationship, the closest friends that we have, and how in those close relationships we influence each other. Not all of those relationships are good ones. I wonder if you can think about someone who's in an abusive relationship and think what that relationship does to them. If you're in a close relationship that's an abusive relationship, then you're controlled, you're fearful, your own character has diminished. We don't see that so much, it's hidden. You lose your self-confidence, you lose your sense of self-worth, and increasingly, as time goes on, you become more and more miserable. If you know someone who's in that situation, then you may want to do something to try and reach in and to help them, and you may not know how to go about doing that, so I'd encourage you to speak to others who might be able to advise you or might be able to get help into those situations. Because as we looked at lockdown, we've looked at how these abusive relationships have often become more prevalent. They're destroying people. They leave people to be miserable, to despair, and even to suicide. Instead of being all that they could be, they're diminishing in that situation. Clearly, those kind of relationships change us, they destroy us. Compare that with an enabling relationship. I wonder if you've seen somebody who as a young person always seemed quiet and shy and withdrawn and struggled to take part in a group, and suddenly they got themselves a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and the whole world seemed to change for them. And having met that person, their sense of self-worth suddenly becomes much bigger. They have a new confidence to face challenges. They feel helped to be their best. They are helped to be their best. It brings out the best in them, that relationship. And we might even say that they're unreasonably happy, because they are. It's transformed their whole outlook. And with that is a resilience to face challenges, to face things that might otherwise have discouraged them or overwhelmed them. But now, because of that relationship, they're ready to face those situations. Relationships change us. This is a picture of one of my colleagues at work that they posted on their Facebook. And they're in a new relationship. And they keep going off hiking with their new partner. And they're planning trips in the next few weeks up to Scotland and down to Land's End as they go off to lots of places together. It's a relationship that's excited them, that's enabled them, that's made them able to give more to other people and to other situations. And they want to adventure together. That's a positive relationship. Now for a Bible verse we often find hard. And I've got it in several translations here. New International Version says this: "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness?" Same verse again in the New Living Translation: "Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness?" Or in the ESV: "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness?" Let me tell you a story from my early 20s. I'd become a Christian when I was 14. Not much experience of boyfriends, girlfriends at that stage. And I probably had some quite high ideals and different things. I got to adventure with OM, Operation Mobilization, which is a Christian missions group that was centred on young people. Worked in India and Pakistan for a couple of years. Came back from there, and I was actually working as a courier driver. And in and out of different places. And in one of those offices, there was a room full of loads of young girls of a similar age to me in my early 20s. One of them, who I thought had a particularly exciting character, and who I enjoyed banter with whenever I was picking up the parcels from this car phone sales warehouse. Kind of person I'd quite happily have as a girlfriend. I went in there one time, and she was in the background but seemed to be looking on, when one of the other girls said to me, "In your religion, are you allowed to go out with girls who don't share that same belief?" And I was watching what was going on, and I thought, "Ha, there's a possibility here for a date, something that could excite me. But how do I answer this question?" Particularly when they were addressing this whole challenge of what was important to me wasn't shared by them. And I had to think for a moment, not too long I guess, because I realised that I had to defend why I believed these different Bible verses. And I said it's not so much a rule or a law where somebody is controlling me, but it's about wanting to take joy in what I believe. And if other people don't believe that or think that's a lie, then that's not a very good basis for our relationship. In some ways I was disappointed to say that, but in other ways I knew that that was in my heart what was important to me. And when I thought it through, I also knew that it was important, because if I went into a relationship where my faith, where my knowing what God meant to me and the values that I have in that for how I want to live, if I was in a close relationship with somebody who didn't share that, then it would discourage me in my faith, and it might actually challenge me in my values of the way I wanted to live. So what had seemed like my dream romance, I had to say, wasn't the right one, because the values wouldn't have been shared in that situation. That was my experience with that different Bible verse. So how do relationships change us? When we choose to walk with God, we choose to realize the potential of everything we were created to be. God made us for a relationship with Him. God made us as individuals with a God-given character, with an ability to bless others, with an ability to bring joy into the lives of others. He created us for those things. And when we choose to walk with God, we choose to realize that potential. When we choose to walk with Jesus, we choose to accept the love shown to us, even as sinners. It was whilst we were still sinners that Christ died for us. And we choose to accept the salvation won for us through Him. We get to know forgiveness of sins, not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus did for us by dying on the cross. When we choose to walk with the Spirit, we choose to be enabled to have the fruit of the Spirit. Those are the passages, the verses that we're coming into. And we choose not to be abused, controlled by the flesh, addicted to the works of the flesh. And those are the very next verses after these passages, so that we get the contrast between what it means to walk with the Spirit and to have the fruit of the Spirit, or to be under the law, to be enslaved by our sin, still stuck in the things that so easily addict us. When we choose to walk with the Spirit, we choose not to be in an abusive relationship, but we choose to be enabled. The verses that we have for this week again. I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So, put your key relationships in place, because they shape you. Put your key relationships in place, and then you will be free, strengthened, and enabled to love others. A Bible verse that's often quoted at weddings is from 1 John 4:19. We love because He first loved us. But I want to bring that verse to you in the context of this week's passage, and to say, if our key relationship is with God, with Jesus, with His Spirit, then because of that love, we are able to love others. It's an enabling love. How we live as Christians isn't law. We must live this way. We must be patient. We must do these things. It isn't a list of the things that we mustn't do. It's about grace and relationship. But those things shape us. Just like if you have a person that you want to spend time with, you want to enjoy the things that they enjoy doing. You want to avoid the things that you know upset them, that they can't take pleasure in. It shapes the way that you are. So our relationship with God is shapes what we want to do. And that also means that there are some relationships that we have to run from, because we recognize that those relationships will displease God. Those relationships probably, and this is why God doesn't take delight in them, are the relationships that will entangle us, will ensnare us, and diminish us. They will become relationships that abuse us. So I encourage you to think about your relationships with other people, how they influence you, how they encourage you in your faith, or how they take you away from God, and make sure that your key relationships are the ones that bring you closer to God. If we get those right, and I'll come back to that in a moment, then that also means that we have been enabled, we've been secure in a way that we can also show love to other people who don't share our faith. But like Jesus, as we walk secure in our knowledge with God the Father, we're able to be a blessing to those who don't yet know him. We're able to be a blessing to those who are living in need or struggling because of the love that God has given to us. And that's what walking with the Spirit is about. It really is a transforming relationship, because as we will read when we get to the fruit of the Spirit, it gives us each one of those fruit. It empowers us. And if we look at what the Holy Spirit does for us, which I think will come out in other messages, then we realize that that is a relationship that enables us. It's transformed us for the good. If we don't choose to embrace that relationship, then the chances are we're stuck in our relationship with sin, and that's one that enslaves us. That's one that leads to an abusive situation where the real us is diminishing, it's not experiencing freedom, and it leaves us more and more miserable. We have that choice about who we walk with. Let's pray as we finish off. Father, there are many of us who at times have struggled with relationships, who at times struggle with loneliness, and would be ready to reach out into any situation where we feel somebody is offering friendship. But I pray that you will help us to get our key relationships right first, and that you'll first help us do that with you, that we know you not because of the way that we have won our salvation, but because of the gospel of grace, of salvation won for us by Jesus. And Father, thank you that we have that chance to walk by your Spirit, to know your Holy Spirit inside us, encouraging us, helping us to know your will, empowering us, helping us to live with your character and for your glory and with your joy. Father, help us make that our key relationship. Surround us with those who would encourage us in that relationship with you. And by the transformation that occurs in each one of us because of that, may you make us a people that can bless others. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.